We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Final hour here, late night sports radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll continue to make our way together up until 1 o'clock in the morning. Room for you guys, as always, at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Really been all over the place tonight, talked about the XFL. We'll continue with those phone calls as well here in the final hour. You guys got thoughts on the XFL as they unveiled this week their new team logos, stories behind each team logo, and now these teams in their individual markets are running pretty heavy commercials right now, not only on TV, but also targeted Facebook, targeted Twitter, targeted YouTube commercials. So they're going all in on the XFL in their 8 markets that will be represented in the upcoming season that kicks off in February. But talking about it from a local aspect, a local angle, wondering if you guys would effectively support a team here in Boston, a team here in New England. If Vince McMahon is able to make this thing a success, I feel like expansion is inevitable, sooner rather than later, if this thing turns a profit and is successful. And I feel like Boston, when you look at the list of teams and you look at the markets that he's attacked here, in Dallas and Houston, L.A., New York, St. Louis, Tampa, Seattle, and D.C., we're talking about markets that are well represented by NFL teams right now. So there's a couple of different ways to go about the XFL if you're Vince McMahon. One way would be to go into these secondary markets that are desperate for professional football, desperate for additional options when it comes to professional teams to latch on to and to watch. Or you could go into football-rich markets and hope to capture 25-30% of the primary team's fan base. And it appears to me, by looking at these locations, that that is the attack, that is the approach that Vince McMahon and the people that are leading the way in the XFL took. And if that's the case, if you're going into markets that are already well represented by the NFL, such as Dallas and Houston, you know, you've got multiple teams in Texas right now, such as, you know, New York. You've got two teams in the NFL in New York, and the Jets and the Giants. Meanwhile, now you have the New York Guardians. If that's the case and you're going after a smaller percentage of a current team's fan base, then why not come here? Why not have a team here in New England? So we're talking about that as well as the Celtics. They're officially 1 month away from training camp starting here in Boston with the new-look Celtics. You've got four members of the Celtics currently on Team USA. Today, Greg Popovich named two of those four captains of Team USA, and I love that. So along with Utah's Donovan Mitchell, you have Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker. The dichotomy of these two players, they could not be further apart, and they're perfect fits for each other and perfect fits for the Celtics. So I love the fact that you've got the guy that's probably going to be the Celtics' leading scorer in Kemba Walker and probably going to be the guy that averages less than 10 points a game in Marcus Smart but brings all that defensive energy, brings all the intangibles to the floor. And I love the fact that that's been recognized by Greg Popovich. Because guys like Lou Maloney, if you listen to him in the afternoon here on OMF, and I hope you do. I hope you do. I truly hope you do. If you want a real basketball education, go no further. Look no further than Futility Lou. He'll teach you a thing or two about the old round ball. He'll teach you a thing or two about basketball. Starting with the peach baskets all the way through to modern-day NBA basketball. No, don't look to me. Don't look to Glenn. Look to none other than Lou Maloney, right? So, you know, you've got this whole situation where you have four Celtics represented, and two of them are now captains of Team USA. I love that. Also mixing in some Celtics thoughts as well. And the Patriots, of course, they played tonight. Patriots preseason game number 3. Tom Brady saw his first action of the season, went 8 for 12, 75 yards. Looked like Tom out there. The Patriots now move to 3-0 on their exhibition schedule. 1 week to go, one game to go against the Giants next week. Patriots so far looks like they're getting relatively lucky when it comes to the injuries, especially when you look at a team like Carolina that you saw tonight. I mean, Cam Newton makes or breaks that team, and he left Gillette tonight in a walking boot. So we'll mix in some Patriots thoughts here as well at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to these phone calls. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin's in the car. Kevin, you're next up here on WEI.
Yeah, how we doing?
What's happening, Kev?
Well, so I was at the game tonight, and he looked good.
Did he?
No one reached. No one reached base.
How many? Did he go one inning, two innings? What did he do?
He went two innings, and nobody reached base. I think he had maybe four strikeouts. Right.
Nobody happened to have a gun, did they? You have no idea how fast he pitched, do you?
No, I couldn't tell you how fast he was pitching. Right. So he, but and at the end. He actually hit because it was all-time baseball game, and the other kid was like 6'8", some young kid, and Clemens got a broken bat RBI, right? Broken a run.
I love it.
So
I love it.
Right, he looked good. He looks happy. He looks fairly fit. He's 57, and he was throwing some gas. And when he wasn't throwing gas, he was throwing off-speed pitches, and no one could hit him. And these were young kids from college who were. Really wanted to get some hits, and they couldn't hit him.
Hey, Kev, did the fans treat him right tonight?
Oh, it was amazing reception.
Awesome.
Right? Amazing reception. People just yelling and screaming, and he was very gracious, signing autographs and being very patient. So
awesome. I appreciate the update. I was desperately looking for some video, some audio. I appreciate the update there. It's amazing to me that there's no iPhone video out there on Twitter that I've come across yet of Roger. But I'm fascinated by watching these old guys perform. I really am. When he was pitching a couple of years ago in the minor leagues, in the independent leagues, I couldn't get enough of it. When they would release video or they had a couple of games stream online, I wanted to watch. Same thing with Jose Canseco. Up until a couple of years ago, he was still kicking around in the independent leagues. And I just, when he would smack a home run, I got a kick out of guys in their 50s out there doing their thing. I enjoy watching that. I enjoy watching the guys that I grew up with still going out there and doing their thing. So I'm happy to hear that the Rocket looked good tonight. It's not like, we're planning on Rogers' comeback to Major League Baseball. We're not talking about that here. But it's always fun to watch guys that you sort of grew up with doing their thing and proving that they still have something in the tank. Maybe at 40 years old, it makes me feel just a little bit younger than I really should feel. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in Florence. Mike, you're next up here on Late Night.
How's it going?
What's happening, Mike?
Hey, so yeah, I just got back. I actually played against Clemens in that game. It was amazing. Stand-up guy.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. He did a pregame speech to all the players. Talked for about 10 minutes, just sharing some wisdom, his experience, what drew him, to be such a great player as he was. And, from a player's perspective, it was awesome to see, what kind of a stand-up guy he was.
And he was throwing well tonight, too?
Oh, I mean, he threw it in mid-80s and hit his spots like I've never seen before. Mixing up four pitches. He had guys off balance. He was throwing backwards. He was throwing curveball and sliders and fastball. Had guys swinging out of the hills.
And you said he was hitting mid-80s in the gun?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody gunned it, just from a personal playing a lot of ball.
Yep.
I could tell. It was definitely a lot of mid-80s. For a strong player, he probably got up there on like 88, 89 on one pitch.
That's
so
awesome.
He's definitely brilliant.
That's awesome. It's good to hear it, man.
Yeah, no, appreciate the call. I'll see you later.
It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. So we've really been all over the place tonight. We'll continue to be all over the place until we wrap this thing up at 1 o'clock. So continue with the XFL thoughts, continue with the Patriots thoughts. I do want to get into the Patrick Chung thing, too. Patrick Chung, if you missed it, he had an incident at his house up at Lake Winnipesaukee, New Hampshire. And anybody that knows that area knows that, A, it's an elitist area where he lives. So Winnipesaukee is a great party spot in the summer. It just is. You got a boat, you go dock it out there, people have a good time. There's no getting around that. But there's also a very rich and elitist part of the lake over there. We have had some legit, stars. Music stars. Axl Rose once had a house out there. Some athletes. So it's not strange for Patrick Chung to have a house there. To have I think it's his secondary residence, not his primary residence. But to have sort of a summer party house out there, right? So back in late June, apparently something went down at the house. There was a report today that something tripped the burglar alarm. So that made the police come out to sort of check things out. And then the police may or may not have seen cocaine out in public view. That's sort of the way that it was told to me today. Now, whether that's true or not has not been confirmed. If the police went there because an alarm was tripped and they went rifling through his drawers, I don't think that's legal. I don't. I talked to a couple of people in law enforcement today, and essentially the way that it was explained to me was that if the coke is out within plain sight, then he could be cited, then he can be charged, then he can be arrested. But the police, if they only came really because a burglar alarm was tripped and they came and they saw that, okay, there's no burglar here, there's nobody breaking and entering, then it's their job to sort of come, make sure the situation's safe, and leave. Now, regardless of the details, I don't care. The only detail I care about is how much blow was in the house. That's it. That's all I care about. Meaning, if there was packages, prepackaged things that were prepacked to cocaine. So if he had, say, 10 8 balls lying around that were prepacked for distribution, if he had a brick of cocaine that he bought in bulk to rebag and distribute, or if he was maybe a player in a cocaine game, meaning where he maybe financed a cocaine operation, completely different story. Same thing I talked about with the whole Robert Kraft thing back when that broke. Meaning, if there was really sex trafficking going on, then yeah, burn him to the ground. But if Robert Kraft was going in to get a couple of handies and he was paying for it and nobody was getting hurt, then lay off the guy, right? Same thing with Patrick Chung. I am so sick of living in glass houses. Everybody wants to live in a glass house. And everybody wants to sit here and pass judgment on everybody else. It's become the American way, and I hate it. I hate it. The holier-than-thou people that are so busy judging what other people do in their free time absolutely drives me bananas. Look, we need to stop. If we're parents and we allow our children to look up to these players as anything more than great world-class athletes, and we don't teach them the difference between what we see on the field of play and what a human being really should be and is, then that's a parental failure. That is not a failure on Patrick Chung's part. It's not a failure on Josh Gordon's part, and it is certainly not a failure on Robert Kraft's fault. But in the last year, we have sat here, and I have listened to call after call after call pass judgment on Robert Kraft, on Josh Gordon, and now today on Patrick Chung. And I'm laughing, and I'm thinking to myself, are we that stupid? Are we that naive? Are we really that blind to what's going on here? Because the fact is, Patrick Chung probably had a little played out with a couple of bumps on, a couple of lines on it. Maybe he had a baggie out that had some residue of the night before because he had a party at his house. And whether he partook with the cocaine or he had guests that partook, it doesn't make a difference to me. It's his off season. It's his time off from work. He did something at his own residence. He did something at his own house in his time away from work. Yeah, we're going to sit here and we're going to judge. And if this guy, if it turns out that he had a personal use of cocaine, so let's say it's an 8 ball or less, okay? So that's what I would consider personal use. If that's what is found in his house, we need to stop judging and worry about ourselves. And if he misses time, if he gets suspended because of this, what a damn joke. I am so sick of it. You know, you want to suspend players, suspend them for beating their kids. Suspend them for beating their wives. Suspend them for legitimately going out there and breaking the law. But let's not look inside people's homes at what they do in their off time. Now, if Patrick Chung was in the locker room and he had to get a hit before he went on the field, or, you know, if he was physically addicted to a drug like, I don't know, an opiate, a painkiller, heroin, whatever it may be, and they found him shooting up in the bathroom just so he could normalize and make it through the day, then we got a problem on our hands. Then you suspend him because for health reasons. The guy needs help. He needs to sort of, you know, go out there and get therapy, get the help that he needs so he can live. That's a life or death situation. That is different. But if we're talking about a guy that was doing a few bumps at a house party during his off season on an off day, why the hell do we care? Why do we care so much? Why do we judge Josh Gordon because he likes to smoke weed? Why do we judge Patrick Chung because he did a few bumps? And why do we judge the president, owner, CEO, Robert Kraft, very successful man, very generous man, yet we sat here in judgment of him for weeks, if not months, for getting a couple of handies? Hell, when I'm his age, I hope I can still perform enough to get a couple of handies. I really do. He's living his best life before he dies. God bless him. Good for him. What people do on their own time with their own money is up to them. It's not up to me to decide what he does. Again, if he was out in public, if you were driving, if Patrick Chung were pulled over with coke, you know, in his possession, different story. Then he's out there potentially harming others. If Robert Kraft were trafficking women, different story. Then he's harming others. If Josh Gordon were pulled over drinking and driving or smoking weed or being under the influence of some sort of drug of choice, then he's harming others. But if people are at home on their own time, spending their own money, doing their own drugs, don't we have better things to do than to sit here and try and tear somebody down when more than likely the people that are tearing these guys down the most, more than likely, are guilty of the same thing at some point in their lives themselves. The only difference is they didn't get caught. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys when we come back at 617-779-7937.
According to the Belknap County Attorney's Office, Patrick Chung going to be arraigned on Wednesday on a cocaine possession. He was indicted on August 8th for an incident that happened on June 25th. Now, the Patriots, they had released a statement, Clinton, but it was basically a statement saying they're not going to comment until the judicial proceedings are through. So that's where we are. You know, the Patriots have a game tonight, Clinton, against the Carolina Panthers. It's a preseason game. Obviously, this will be a topic of discussion. Patrick Chung was not at practice on Tuesday, and perhaps that was related to these latest developments.
Mike Reese right there on Outside the Lines today talking about the Patrick Chung incident. And really, you know, there'll be more facts that come down. And again, I'm going to reserve judgment when it comes to Patrick Chung, just like I did for Robert Kraft, just like I did for Josh Gordon. I am not one of these people that's going to sit here and get offended by a professional athlete using recreational drugs on their own time in the offseason. Just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Now, if they're out there endangering the public, sure. Let's jump all over them. If Robert Kraft is involved in human trafficking, burn him to the ground. But if we're talking about Robert Kraft getting a handy, if we're talking about Patrick Chung partying at his house in the summer and doing a couple of recreational bumps along the way, and you know something happens, he gets caught, well, who the hell are we to judge? I'm so sick of listening to people call sports radio shows, so sick of reading the most predictable sports writers with their predictable canned stories talking about these guys, judging. Meanwhile, I feel like in life in general, it's a rule that I have, and I sort of take it with me everywhere that I go. The people that are the most judgmental, the people that are the most judgmental when it comes to homosexuality probably have gay tendencies themselves. The people that are the most judgmental when it comes to recreational drug use probably have their own issues when it comes to drug use as well. Alcohol, same thing. Sex addiction, same thing. Usually, it's some sort of a projection of your own issues that come out. And I've listened to it all day long here and on the other station and on TV, and I can't stand it. I think it's so hypocritical. Now, if Patrick Chung were caught using drugs in the Patriots locker room before a game, different story. If Patrick Chung were out there driving and he was doing some bumps along the way, impairing his ability to drive, different story. But if you're in your own home and it's recreational, I don't want to know about it. I don't care. And again, for the parents that are out there, I have a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old, and I work in sports radio. Professional athletes are a part of my life and have been for the last 20 years. My daughter is 12. My son is 8. So for the entirety of their lives, I have done this. And professional athletes have been a part of their entire lives, literally from the day that they were born. It's all they know. I tell them, watch the athlete, root for the athlete. In some cases, when I know the person somewhat, root for that person. But I tell them all the time, don't you dare look up to these people. You want to find people to look up to? Look up to your parents. Look up to your grandparents. Look up to your teachers. Let's go find some people that are legit role models for you to look up to. Because that's not an athlete's job. Charles Barkley said it 25 years ago that he is not a role model. And that message rings more true today than it ever has before. Unfortunately, some kids have nobody else to look up to because their homes are broken or whatever life situations come up. But for the majority of our children in this country, the parents have to do a better job of educating our kids. Look up to the athletes for what they do on the field, what they do on the court. You can look at them in awe. You can want to be like them. You can want to be like the way that they play, be like the way that they train. Have that sort of dedication to your craft as they have to their crafts. But don't you dare, choose one of these guys as the person that you want to be like, because we don't know them. Even the people that cover them on a day in and day out basis that think they know these athletes, we don't know them. We know their public personas, the persona that they allow us to see for the most part. And again, we sit here in judgment of a guy like Patrick Chung, and people want him suspended. People want him off the team. You know, I saw some tweets earlier today that were grouping Patrick Chung, Robert Kraft, and Josh Gordon, saying in the last year, the Patriots have had a player suspended for marijuana use and alcohol. We have had their owner arrested, in trouble in court for sex abuse or for soliciting prostitution, and now Patrick Chung arrested on cocaine charges. So that's your team. That's your franchise. Be proud, Patriots fans. That's what people were saying from other markets today, and I can't stand the judgment. The fact is this. What Robert Kraft did, in my opinion, no big deal. No big deal. So what? It was consensual between adults. It was a financial transaction. No big deal. If we learn that it's something else, something more, something further, and there's some sort of abuse going on there, then absolutely. You know, burn Robert Kraft to the ground. But as what we know, no, he paid for a couple of handies. So what? Josh Gordon likes to smoke weed. No secret there. He's got his own personal issues that he's tried desperately to work through over the years. And that seems to be the vice that he can't let go of. If it means it's, you know, he can't play NFL football any longer at some point in time, that is a sad story. But it's not something that we should sit here in judgment of that guy. We shouldn't do it. He's a grown man making grown man choices. Same thing with Patrick Chung. Want to sit here because, ooh, it's cocaine. So what? It's in the middle of June. It was June 25th, middle of summer, at his vacation home during the off season. And we're going to sit here and we're going to judge him as well. I am so sick of people judging other people when really we should look internally and want to fix ourselves and be the best version of ourselves that we can be rather than worrying about what other people do. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Steve. Steve's in the car. Steve, you're next up here on WEI.
And how are you doing this evening, or I should say this morning?
What's happening, Steve? I'm doing well.
Hey, you know, just driving back to my house. So I want you to think about this. Forget about the judgment. Forget about, you know, pointing the fingers or saying that fella's a bad guy or that fella's a bad guy. Think about your job and think about Patrick Chung and his job. Whenever your job is, whatever your profession is, you're probably held to an employee handbook. And every professional athlete that signs a collective bargaining agreement contract is held to this employee handbook. So it's not about whether or not it's recreational use, marijuana, cocaine, or alcohol. If they violate the conditions of that employee handbook, yourself included and myself included, then you have to suffer the consequences. And if that employee handbook within the collective bargaining agreement of the NFL indicates and states that you cannot use cocaine, marijuana, or abuse alcohol, or whatever the stipulations are, and you get caught violating it, then you have to answer the consequences. So that's where I feel I needed to weigh in. And it's not about judgment. You know something? It's unfortunate. You're right. It's the off season. But if he violated the conditions of his employee handbook from the Patriots and his collective bargaining agreement, then he's going to suffer the consequences.
Look, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. But, you know, it's a shame. I personally feel like, you know, him partying in the middle of June during the offseason, if that results in a suspension of some sort, I don't like that. But I get what you're saying, and I'm on board with it. My problem is in my field, as far as my part-time work goes on sports radio, listening to my colleagues throughout the day. And I listen to this station, the other station, a station in Connecticut, and a station in Maine to sort of get the feel for what people were having to say today about Patrick Chung. And that was the hosts and the callers. It was about judgment at that point. It was about disappointment in Patrick Chung and people being very judgy about calling him an addict. We know nothing about what took place at that house. What we know is the police found a small amount of cocaine. That's all we know. And we're going to sit here and we're going to judge the character of a man and judge what that man really is based on very few facts and a half-assed police report. That, to me, is my problem. I don't want to sit here and judge a guy when really the fact is this, Steve. There's probably a dozen people that were involved in your life today, whether they're coworkers or people that you ran into at Dunkin' Donuts. Half of them have used cocaine. Half of them have used marijuana. We don't know what people do at home. And I just hate the fact that this happened at his house in the offseason, and yet it's become a public story. That's all.
So if you have a few more minutes, I kind of buried the headline and I didn't discuss this with the call screener. I'm retired from the job. And when somebody says that, that means they were involved in law enforcement.
Yep.
So not only am I retired from the job, I'm actually an elected official right now in my hometown in the state of Rhode Island. So the standard that I live by and these employee handbooks and these guidelines that I discuss, I've lived my entire adult life. And we all make mistakes.
Yep.
But when you get caught doing something that violates that employee handbook. I keep referring back to the employee handbook. I keep referring back to the contract. Then you got to answer you got to pay the piper.
Yep.
So, I don't know what the details are. It's funny because I own property in New Hampshire, and I know exactly where his vacation home is. I'm like, oh, that's not too far from my place.
Then you've done well in your life because that's a hell of a neighborhood that he lives in up there.
Yeah, no, I'm not in that neighborhood. I'm a little further north. But I know, and I did well enough where I always tell people, don't hate me because I was able to pick a profession where I was able to retire and get a pension.
Yep.
Because those things don't exist anymore.
No, you're right.
I chose well.
Yep.
And you're right. The pontificate is that judge and point fingers and say, you know, these guys need to be suspended. I always respond back with this. Allow the process to play out. You have to allow the process to play out and allow the pieces of the puzzle to be put into place, because nobody has any idea of what occurred. First of all, I'm not an expert in New Hampshire search and seizure, what their state laws are. So I can't speak upon what they found, what they discovered, who was there. Nobody knows. The
right.
only people that know are the people that were there.
Yep.
And the people that, you know, so allow the process to take place. So if somebody's immediately calling for this individual's head, that's not the system that we live in. We have to remember people are innocent until proven guilty. So allow the process to take place, allow the things to, eventually it'll come out, and whatever happens, it happens. But as far as him being suspended or cut from the team, I think it's too premature. And I think, you know, the Krafts and the Belichicks would probably agree with the same thing. It's too, you know, I listened to Bill's press conference at the end of the game, and they talked about, was it a decision to keep Patrick Chung off the field because of what happened? He goes, he hasn't played all preseason. You know, so it's perfect classic Bill Belichick,
right.
You know, rhetoric. But I thank you for listening to me and let me put out my opinion there. I'm sure you have other callers behind me, so I don't want to take up more of your time.
Steve, next time, though, listen, next time you buried the lead, I'll bury the lead, too. So next time, you just tell the call screen, tell my producer, Nick, say, hey, this is who I am, this is what I did. That way you don't have to wait. You know, you did some good in your life. At least it can do is get you to the front of the line, man.
Yeah, it's all good. You know, it's not a problem. I'm killing time driving back. So I really buried the lead. You know what I do now is I'm a high school baseball umpire, and I do baseball games in the off season, and in the winter I'm up north. So it's like, I have no complaints, but you're right. For people to pass judgment, it's way too premature.
It is, Steve. Listen, I appreciate the phone call. I am up against it here. And you know, I like the insight you bring there. And that's something that's interesting to me is like, okay, so if he violated a rule that the Patriots have in their employee handbook or an NFL rule that was collectively bargained and the outcome is going to be some sort of a suspension, fine. I might not agree with it, but I certainly can live with it. That's a very different story, in my opinion, than people that are calling into radio shows, calling into TV shows, sitting there writing articles for The Globe, The Herald, NBC Sports Boston, WEI.com, whoever it may be, passing judgment on this guy, passing judgment prematurely on Patrick Chung. The same people that pass judgment on Josh Gordon without knowing his full backstory of his life. The same people that pass judgment on Robert Kraft before knowing the details of his situation. Because we're so busy, we're so damn busy as a society worrying about what other people do as opposed to worrying about ourselves. And if we all spent that energy that we spend judging others, if we took that energy and used it elsewhere and used it to better ourselves, then society as a whole would become that much better. Because we'd be focusing the attention where it should be, where it's controllable. We can't control what Patrick Chung does in his life in the offseason. We can't control what Robert Kraft does. But what we can do is take that energy and that focus that we're so obsessed with these guys and what they do, instead become obsessed with ourselves and become the best version of ourselves that we can possibly be. And by default, society as a whole becomes stronger because we're all working on ourselves. Let's grab another call here before the break. I see you guys been waiting here for a while. Let's go to Master IC. I haven't talked to him in a long time. What's going on, my friend?
Peace, Patrick, and peace to the human family.
Yeah.
I would like to say that cocaine does not impair anyone's ability to drive.
Okay. I don't want to know how you know that, Master. Don't self-incriminate yourself, but I get it.
Hey, you're the one that said it. And secondly, I'd also like to say, Steve sounded like, hey, well, slavery was okay according to the policy handbook. So according to that, blah blah blah. Shut up, Steve.
Oh Jesus. Oh man. So what do you got tonight, my man?
Yes, 3 points real quick. I got Patrick Chung, the Celtics, and Southern New Mexico.
All right,
so with Patrick Chung, considering the conversations we've had about people's insensitivities, right? Right? Considering that, what if the police decided they wanted to sprinkle some crack on them?
Well, I mean, now we're getting to conspiracy theories, Master. And, you know,
that is not a conspiracy theory because it's been proven before. There have been officers who have shown that particular amount of insensitivity in order to incriminate the people that they might have a personal aggression towards or whatever it may be. I'm not saying that's the case.
Yep.
I'm just saying, considering the facts of the case, it's a possibility.
So, well, what we're going to do is we're going to hit your points, and then I'll talk about it after with you. So, yeah, that on Patrick Chung. You got a Celtics thing, too?
Yes, Celtics. I think they're going to be way better than we expect them to be. Considering that Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker were named as captains.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I'm not necessarily riding on the idea that signification is going to be the is what's going to save the Celtics. But I do feel like they let go of a great ill that was in their locker room and was.
Oh, your phone just dropped, Master. I'm sorry. If you can, try and call back into the program here. We're up against it, but I don't know what happened to the phone there. If you're on a cell phone, get yourself into a better area. I was interested to hear what you had to say about the Celtics. You got your conspiracy theory out about Patrick Chung, but I didn't get the full know-how on your take on the Celtics. And it's been a while since Master and I have connected here on Late Night. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. I'm up against a break here. When we come back, we'll wrap this thing up, get to as many phone calls as we can. I'll give you a closing thought here, too, that we got to talk about real quick. On Breaking Bad is becoming a movie, apparently, and it's already been shot. So Bob Odenkirk, who plays Saul Goodman on the show, he told somebody that was interviewing him yesterday that somehow, some way, they've shot this movie of Breaking Bad and nobody has leaked anything about it. And it's going to air at some point early in 2020. If you're a Breaking Bad fan, there's a story out there that says that Walter White is somehow going to be in this movie. If they bring him back as a flashback or the conscience of Jesse Pinkman or something, that's fine. But so help me God, if they develop some sort of storyline that says that Walter did not die at the end of that show, they're going to ruin a perfect ending to a perfect show. Is there anybody that wants to see Walter White still alive? I can't be alone in this. I want to see him dead. He's dead. It ended the right way. That should be it. Let's stop screwing things up by bringing them back to life when they don't belong to be alive. And that's just my thought. You know, people are excited about it. I don't think it's all that exciting. I really, really don't. It is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you when we come back at 617-779-7937.
Anyway, Mr. President, I know in your world, you're well on your way to making America great again. In my world, it's been great for 91 years. Only in America could my story have been told. I'm here to say that I'm easily the most fortunate, lucky SOB on the planet.
It's my guy right there. Love me some Coos. So Bob Cousy was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom today. And you guys that listen to the show know that I'm not the biggest Trump guy going. But this was the right decision made by the president to give it to Bob Cousy at 91 years old. I find it just to be an awesome, awesome, awesome story. And I was telling my terrific producer, Nick, in the break that Bob Cousy, once upon a time, I mean, he called every Celtics game. So when I was growing up, he called every road game for the Celtics. So you had your home games were on NBC Sports Boston, previously Comcast Sportsnet, previously Spectrum. Sports Channel, and before that it was Spectrum. Okay, that's the four iterations of the Celtics' home schedule. Home games were done there, but their road games were on broadcast TV. They were on TV 38. And the broadcast duo was Bob Cousy and Tommy Heinsohn. And if you never saw those two work together, because they stopped doing it close to 20 years ago, but if you ever saw those two work together, go check it out on YouTube. It's fascinating stuff if you're a Celtics guy, if you're an NBA guy, because Tommy Heinsohn wasn't the color guy. So now, on, you know, with Mike Gorman, we know him as the animated, funny Celtics color guy, the guy that goes after the refs, the guy that brings some entertainment to the broadcast. No, back then he was the play-by-play guy. And Kuz was the color guy, giving opinions on things. And what actually cost him his job with the organization, the organization at the time owned by the Gastons, asked Bob Cousy to essentially go away, which was a big sin. But the Celtics sucked. It was like Purvis Ellison time in Boston. It was a bad time for the Boston Celtics. And Kuz was honest about it. He would go on the air, and he would be honest about what his NBA Hall of Fame eyes were seeing. And the Celtics didn't like it. And that was really the beginning of this control of the narrative that we see throughout all of these leagues and these teams and these broadcast outlets. And, you know, it sucks. And Kuz was such a refreshing character, such a refreshing guy to listen to if you were a Celtics fan, because we agreed with him. We agreed with him as Celtics fans. So Bob Cousy, 91 years old, love to see him still out there doing his thing. He was walking today, appears to be in very good health at 91 years old. We all know he took a turn for the worse a few years back when his wife passed away. Looks like he's rebounded well. And Bob Cousy, congratulations to you being awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom today from President Trump. And I love his message that America's already been great. It's been great to him for 91 years. And he tops off his career, tops off his life today with his Presidential Medal of Freedom. So I love that. Congratulations to Bob Cousy. And hopefully it's a sign of things to come for the Celtics. A good day overall for the Boston Celtics. Bob Cousy gets that medal. The Celtics are well represented by Team USA. Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, named captains of Team USA. It couldn't get much better for the Celtics today. So my name is Patrick Gilroy. It was good to be back in here at late night. Unfortunately for me, I'm traveling to New Orleans this weekend. I don't think I'll be in at all next week. I don't get back until Friday morning. So it'll be a couple of weeks. But the good news for you is that when I come back, my travel schedule lightens up. There'll be plenty of Gilroy as we start to approach Celtics and their training camp schedule. So until then, until next time, my name is Patrick Gilroy. This has been Late Night. Stay tuned. You've got Scotty Farrell. It's Farrell on the bench. He comes up next right here on Sports Radio WEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.